In this episode, discover the power of show and tell as it relates to visual sales and marketing assets.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
And now, back in the studio, it's been crazy around here. In fact, coming up on Wednesday, I'm in Vegas through Friday. I'm going back to Vegas. I was just there for a week. Now I'm going back for some work. I've got a presentation I'm doing at iSpa 2019. iSpa is the largest executive director conference for the largest spas at resorts all over the world. So if you think of like the Four Seasons Hawaii or Maui or the Ritz-Carlton in Scottsdale, Arizona or wherever, like those are the people that are making the decisions for the spas. And I'm there to teach them the power of visual storytelling and how it impacts the number of people that say yes and how to use that in the spa industry. Super fun. I've actually been doing research on this. And when I say research, I mean like with air quotes, right? Going to spas, been getting a treatment or going and working out at the spa and in investigating the experience of how to optimize the sales process for them, where visual stories fit in. I've had meetings with spa directors from the biggest spas in the world and been picking their brains and extracting the information so I can put it into my presentation, because when I get there in Vegas, it is my opportunity to help elevate them, to show them the power of show and tell and how it affects their business. And that is super cool for me. Now, where would you be if you applied yourself? Like if you optimized yourself, if you applied yourself 100%. Now, if I was super honest with myself, I know where my areas of optimization are. You know, if I could improve that weakness, I'd be so much further ahead. And I bring this up because I'm in a constant state of optimization, just like the content in a campaign or a page that's going to be optimized for search. For those of you that have been following me for a while, you know that I am, my background was in search and optimization and social and then looking in the analytics and the data. But as part of my job, I have to assess other people's talents or other people's content or what their sales process is. And if I apply myself and I evaluate myself like I evaluate the content and where it could be optimized, I could be pretty unstoppable. What about you? Where could you apply yourself? Could you dig in deeper? Where would you be able to ignite your weakness and turn that into a strength? And I've shared this with you in the past. I struggled for many years with attention disorders and learning disabilities. And the great University of Arizona at the Salt Center helped me strengthen my weaknesses, which has made me career-wise a bit unstoppable. Where would you be if you could apply yourself, if you could further your weaknesses and transform them into strengths? Now, the biggest weakness that I see as I'm evaluating businesses is how they communicate their complex solutions. More on that in a moment. But would you consider yourself an expert, a salesperson, as a marketer, maybe as a video creator? Like, where do you see yourself as an expert? And think about that and then give yourself an answer. Are you an expert, yes or no? I mean, like if you're humble, maybe you're a rock star in your space or in your niche, but you might not consider yourself an expert. Really, where I'm going with this is when you get to the point where you're approaching the expert part of your career or your passion, the most important thing is to realize that the communication isn't just what comes out of your mouth, But the expert is also obsessed with how that communication is received, how it's processed and understood. In our Monday morning meetings every week, my job as the founder is to lay out a little bit of vision. Like, I'm not involved what is going in that video and how that video is being scripted. I'm up on a higher level, right? I mean, I used to be a one-man band. I used to write the scripts and film them and edit them and do all that. But now there are people here on the team that are just better in each of those areas than I am. My greatest value is how I can lead the team, how I can help lift people up. And this week, because of the Labor Day holiday, we did this meeting on Tuesday, and my message to everybody is, as we're starting to reach our next level, because we're friggin' blowing up, let's redouble our efforts to not only be the skilled communicator as the message comes out of our mouth, but also be responsible and be an expert for how that information is received, how it's processed and remembered. Now, this is a really difficult task. In fact, just a couple days ago, I stubbed my toe royally on this and didn't communicate the way I wanted, and I wasn't really concerned about how that message was received. And as a result, my goals and the team goals weren't achieved. But where can you polish and perfect? And I noticed that, you know, when I'm in sales meetings, I get this time, this opportunity to do that. And that's when all the chips are on the table, right? But have you ever tried to convince somebody when they didn't agree with you? When you were done and you left that room, have you ever said, well, they just aren't smart enough to get it? I've said this, Lord knows I've said it far too many times. It should be an indicator that you didn't provide an expert level of communication. It's not really about them if you're an expert. Let me give you an example. The example that's rolling through my head right now is a sales context. There have been so many times in my career where I have not gotten a yes. And then my wife had said, so how did the meeting go? And I go, I don't think they're smart enough to get it. The expert says, I didn't communicate the message clear enough. It wasn't received well enough on the other side because I didn't paint a strong enough picture, didn't lay the right emotion. And I want us to be thinking about this. So let me take two steps back. You ever have somebody tell you a story and they reach into their phone and they show you a photo that tells that story deeper? Like if you talk about their dog or their dog comes up, do they reach into their phone and show you what their dog looks like? Right? We all do this. And we do it because we're telling a deeper story. We're communicating deeper to the recipient, right? And I just had a client just a few moments ago send me an email because apparently I did this because I had a deal that was on the table. The deal was, they already said yes. I already did the paperwork. I already had the statement of work contract, but it's been sitting on their desk for 2 weeks. Tony Robbins says, time kills deals. So I kept hearing in my head, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. How am I going to communicate to this person? Maybe they aren't as excited now 2 weeks later as they were when they got off the phone and they said yes. Maybe they're having second doubts. Maybe they're having a hard time communicating that message, the value of the project, to the other decision makers. Maybe I need to reignite my passion and get back in front of them and do it in a way that allows my message and my excitement and vision on the full project to be clearly communicated to all the other people inside of our office that are part of the decision-making process. You know, this person is a chief operating officer. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking they have 1,200 employees. This COO has got to have the ability to say yes, right? But people don't do that anymore. They build coalitions. So I shot off a little video where I explained it, where I transferred my confidence and my emotions. And the better we get at doing that, the better we get at showing and telling, at controlling the end recipient and how they perceive the value, the better we're going to be at getting yes. And I stumbled into this article this week from Inc. What do you say? Inc's website? Because Lord knows, it's not a magazine anymore. I mean, maybe it's on a shelf somewhere, but none of us are buying magazines. But this was rolling through my head, this whole story about how that communication needs to be received. When I stumbled into this article on Inc's website called Five Reasons Your Marketing Team Should Start Using Visuals If They're Not Already. Amy Balliette is the co-founder and CEO of Killer Visual Strategies. She wrote this article. In a moment, I'm going to start breaking down the most important parts for you. Because if I can give you those most important parts and you take them with you, you now just became significantly more valuable in the sales process or the discovery process or the relationship development process inside of your own company. And that's the role I like to play here on this podcast. So before I get to that Inc. article, I as I was getting ready to go to bed last night, I stumbled into some new stats. And the new stats are going to help you better understand the Inc. article. You see, one of them is 72% of people prefer video over text when learning about a product or service. Why? Because you can show and tell. 72% of people prefer video over text when learning about a product or service. That's show and tell. 4 in 5 consumers believe demo videos are helpful. That's 4 out of 5 consumers find the value. Now, because I believe in show and tell so much, my brain gets stuck on what is wrong with that 1/5 of the consumers that don't believe demo videos are helpful, because we know they are. Maybe these people are just contrarian, right? Who knows? But I think it's a foregone conclusion. If you can visually show somebody a demo of a product in a video, they have a much better understanding of the power and the magnitude of that product. Marketers who use video get 66% more qualified leads annually. What would your business be like if you had 66% more qualified leads annually? That's the power of show and tell, man. Putting it in somebody's head. Now they start to understand. Now they're a more qualified lead. And as we all know, more qualified leads convert into more customers. Then I saw this stat, and it's from Think with Google. 70% of B2B consumers, business to business consumers, watch videos on their path to purchase. That's remarkable, because they too, as the recipient, understand the value of show and tell. 70% of B2B consumers watch videos on their path to purchase. Man, that's a big number. And then using video on landing pages increases conversion rates up to 86%. What's the job of the landing page? The landing page, and I don't care if you call it a squeeze page or a funnel or a customer journey, it's just creating a main road that one type of customer goes down as they get all the information they need to make a purchase decision. And using video on landing pages can increase your conversion by 86% because of the power of show and tell. And we shouldn't miss that. Oh, and then I saw this stat. And candidly, this stat kind of pissed me off. Because this is what I experience. Once I get buy-in, and a company's like, dude, we need video so bad. We totally get it. Da-da-da-da-da. Then I hear something that's related to this stat. 23% of marketers who don't use video advertising say they lack the time to make videos. Now, we don't have, and this came up, Marcus and I were in the office of a $5 billion company. We're meeting with their marketing team. I had just gone through my rock star speech about the power of video, and I got the room laughing, and they understood the value of it and how it was going to revolutionize their sales team. And then maybe 2 hours into our full day workshop where we're leveling up this juggernaut company, one of the marketers said, yeah, this is great, but I don't have time for this. And then my brain went into this type of logical thought sequence. If you're going to increase your conversions, if you're going to significantly get more leads, if you're going to sell at faster rates because now people know because you've shown and told, how do you not have more time for that? Because we don't prioritize our list by what we have time for. We create our list and then prioritize it by what's going to get the best result. And if you want, I just shared with you what's going to get the best results, and the things that are on that list that should be devalued are the things that you've prioritized. We need to remove those items and add the ones that are going to get you the best results. Everybody knows this because every business has operated this way since the beginning of time. And maybe I should say every business that survived optimized the way their message gets delivered and how to deliver it. And in doing so, they have to get rid of other things. So that kind of ticked me off when I saw that. So that brings me right back here to the very beginning when I'm talking about the Inc. article, and I want to spend a few moments going into this. I'm going to quote some parts and I'm going to share some insights. Quote, what I've come to call the visual generation, the group comprising of Generation Y, and which are millennials, and Generation Z, they are just digital natives, she says. They're visual natives, having grown up learning to communicate in a fundamentally different way than their predecessors did. Now, if you're a marketer saying to yourself, well, they haven't taught, that's a younger generation. They're not the ones that have the money. The reality is, if you go and pay attention to the stats I gave you earlier, it ain't just Gen Y and Gen Z. It's everybody at this point. So we have to be really good at showing and telling. She goes on to say, traditional text-based marketing is no longer viable. Visual content is the new king. Why? Because marketers need to communicate in a way their customers prefer to be communicated to. Or, and this is the big risk if you don't prioritize it, or risk losing them. Your customers, she says, are already speaking visually and showing a preference for visual over text-based content. And with new communication technologies like virtual reality getting better all the time, this isn't likely to change anytime soon. Visuals don't just reach the brain faster in a more natural way than text. They also communicate complex ideas in a more effective way. In fact, compared to text alone, text combined with visual elements sees an 89% improvement in comprehension if you are a responsible, this is me ad-libbing, if you're a responsible expert, if you're a communicator, your job is not just putting the message out there, but making sure that you're improving the comprehension and the retention. So as you're thinking about this, this Inc. article is really valuable. I'd recommend, we're going to put on the show notes page for this episode. You'll find it at wirebuzz.com/. Oh, this is where I was going to screw it up. I was just about to go really dyslexic and screw up the numbers. Let me do this again. All right. Wirebuzz.com/213. 213 is the episode we're on. Strong visual communication makes message clearer without the audience getting confused. And as I go through this, it makes sense to me because I want to make sure that everybody that I get in front of, I have the ability to influence. If I'm in a sales context, I should be able to have them know what I know and believe what I believe, because that's when buying becomes an absolute friggin' no-brainer. So that prospect that went radio silent on me, that has 1,200 people in her company, I sent her off a video. I actually recorded it last night. I was so fired up. I was so excited to have an impact on her business that I created the video. I transferred my excitement, because we all know that if your prospect doesn't have the emotions, if they don't feel the excitement, they're not going to buy, right? Like, we all know this. I transferred the right level of emotion to her with the right energy, with the right clarity, because I did it with my slides. And what tool did I use? I used Wistia's soapbox. So I could cut in post-production effortlessly between my camera and the slides back and forth, and then uploaded that video. Then what I did is I took the thumbnail image, I customized it. I put it inside of my email. I linked it to the Wistia page where that video lives. I sent it off with an email. And then, because by the time I was done, it was now 6 o'clock and it was taco night in my house. And I know it's probably taco night in everybody's house. Who's going to be looking at email at 6 o'clock? So I time released it. I sent the email last night to be sent at 8 this morning when the client got into the office. And to my phone, I will reach into my back pocket right now and I will open up my messages, and I will tell you that as I walked into the studio, I got the text message. This is the person who went radio silent. She's run a 1,200 person company. She went radio silent. My first instincts were, dude, you missed the opportunity. Because you didn't leverage the power of show and tell. Because you didn't get the other people seeing what she saw and believing what she believed. And I need to transfer all of that. I got this message. You rock, 2 exclamation marks. Thank you, 2 more exclamation marks. Now, I then went and looked at the back end data. And I saw she wasn't the only one looking at that video. Somebody else watched the video 98%. Somebody else started it, got to 60%. I'm building a coalition inside of her office. All I had to do was be that expert communicator, leveraging the power of show and tell. Now, if you want to decide what topics you should be creating for your business, and I know that's the trick, right? Because it gets confusing. We created a topic selection worksheet that is free to listeners of this podcast. You can get access to it. Go through that worksheet. And by the time you get through that worksheet, you will identify the areas for your business to create videos that'll get people to understand how you can impact their outcomes, right? I mean, that's ultimately what we're doing. Wirebuzz.com/topics is where you get a hold of that. It's free to you. And then we also are in the process. Brandon, can I do this? Can I pitch the radio show idea? Okay. Thank you. All right. So we're also in the process of doing a episode where audience members ask questions in audio. We're working right now on what the right platform is going to be, but we're going to set it up like a radio show. Okay. But only the people that are listening to this podcast can submit into the questions. Like, if you want to do it from the Wirebuzz Insider Group, it's actually where we're going to announce. We're going to put it in a Facebook group called Wirebuzz Insider Community. And inside that group, we'll explain where you're going to submit. But what we would like is for people to submit in their questions for one episode. And the way you submit it in will be in audio. But we'd like you to do stuff like, hey, Todd, we're just going to pretend like you're on a show. So go like, hey, Todd, first time, long time. Great to talk with you. All right, here's my question, man. How long should a video be? And I'll take this call off the line. Listen to it as you, right? Pretend that you're calling into a show. Don't ask any cross back and forth questions. It gets too complex for us. And then Brandon and I will do this just like way, way back in the day when I was a talk show host and I was taking live calls and we didn't know where it was going to go. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. It'll be very spontaneous, but we want you to be part of the joke. Okay. So Wirebuzz Insider Community, we're going to post how to do it, how to submit. Then we're going to put you into the show with me and we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We're going to have some bumper music. We're going to go to a hard break. It's going to be everything like I used to have to do way, way back in the day when I lived behind a microphone. On behalf of Brandon Yamaguchi and the Wirebuzz team, we're looking forward to bringing you more news. In fact, right now we've got 2 other episodes that are right here on my screen that are almost going to be flushed out first of the week next week. We're going to crush them and be back on track of bringing you the latest information in the world of video marketing and showing you not only what that information is, but how you can use it to optimize your business, to increase your results, and become an expert communicator that guides everybody from a show and tell path to a customer that wants to send you a whole lot of money. Peace. Okay, stop the music. All right, I just got this. Remember that lady I was mentioning that I created the video for her team and she said, you rock, thank you. And she gave me 4 exclamation marks. She just sent me an update. Said, your video sold them. Totally made my job simple. So awesome. I'm sending you a contract in a couple of minutes. Boom. That's why we do it, right? I could have blown all of that time. I circled back. I didn't give up. I actually wasn't afraid of the no, and I persevered through it, and I just got the yes. Peace.